Welcome in to another edition of Locked On Titans. I'm Jimmy Morris, joined as always by Terry Lambert. Terry, how are you tonight?
Good. Always good to be breaking down another win.
Yeah, always good to have a victory Sunday night. The Titans, I mean, this is just crazy, and we'll talk about this as we go on here. But to think about everything that's happened, all the adversity that they faced, and the fact that they lost to the Dolphins, who, you know, so many of us have circled as such an important game early in this season, to be at 2-1 is just unbelievable. We've been talking a lot about that, so we'll talk all about that and break down the game. Before we do that, remind you, we write for MusicCityMiracles.com, so you can check us out there. Ton of stuff going up, content there, so just check that out. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at JMorrisMCM. Terry's at TLambertFB. You can get the podcast wherever you get your podcast. Just search out Locked On Titans. You'll find us there. Subscribe. You'll get the newest episodes as soon as they are available. All right, so Titans go down to Jacksonville today and end up with a 9-6 win. Another incredible effort all the way around. They've played basically two games now of perfect football for what they have. I mean, obviously, it's not the prettiest thing in the world, but to think about the limitations that they've had as far as injuries and all that kind of stuff, and think about that they haven't turned the ball over the last two games, and they've been able to win two division games, start out in the division 2-0. I don't remember when the last time that happened was, but I mean, I would say it's been a while. Just everything that when you think about with the injuries and all that kind of stuff that's been going on, it's crazy. And like I said, if you'd have told us that, you know, in the first 3 weeks of the season, you know, in week two, you would be down your starting three tackles. In week three, you would get one of those guys back, but you'd still be down your second, third tackle. That Mariota would only make one start in the first three games. You know, we'd all been happy at 1-2. But to think now that they've gone through all that, they sit at 2-1, it's just unbelievable. And, you know, again, so much, this Jacksonville team has gotten so much credit for their defense and all that stuff. Their defense is really good. There's no doubt about that. We saw that today. But they still have their limitations on offense. And the Titans, if they can get everybody back healthy, I think they have the chance to be the best team in the division. And I think you saw today that this Titans team, for whatever reason, has the Jacksonville Jaguars number. And now, again, if you think about that was with a very limited offense. If you think about expanding that to getting a healthy Mariota, a healthy Jack Conklin, all that kind of stuff, I really think this team is the best team in the division. Am I crazy?
No, you're not crazy. I mean, they proved it today. Down, you know, with a 50% Marcus Mariota, maybe. You know, he wasn't supposed to play today. It was pretty clear that he was limited. So, you have to think once he's back, once they open up the offense, once they attack downfield, you know, more things are going to open up. So, I mean, 2 weeks ago, we're talking 0-4. You know, and we're like pretty solid on that. That's going to happen. That's a thing that's going to happen. Titans are too banged up. There's no way that they can win two division games against what we thought to be two pretty good teams. For them to come out and do this, man, it gives me all the confidence in the world. And Mike Vrabel and Matt LaFleur and Dean Pease, just as a coaching staff, have just been great. You know, they picked their spots. They were aggressive against the Texans, and it paid off for them. Knew they had to be. Just night and day over what we've seen for the past couple of years with Mike Mularkey. You know, for years, every Sunday, it felt like Titans were getting out-coached. I don't feel that way anymore. Maybe it changes. You know, I'd like to see that over the long haul, but the early returns have just been spectacular. So, interested to see what happens with the offense once everybody's healthy. You know, you're probably going to get Conklin back next week. We'll see about Marcus Mariota. I mean, at this point, I don't know how you play Blaine Gabbert over him, even if he's not 100%, because it looked like Marcus Mariota was a far and away better option. But just so impressed with this team. You know, they proved both of us wrong so far.
Yeah, and here's one thing I'll say about Mularkey, and I've seen a couple people on Twitter say this, and I agree 100%. He does deserve some credit because he changed the culture of this franchise. And yes, he was bad on Sundays. The game plan was bad. The offense was bad. All those things are definitely true. But he instilled a winning culture. He instilled the culture of, you know, the game's not over until the final whistle. You grind it out. You find a way to win in the fourth quarter. He did all that. So, I mean, I think he deserves some credit for that, because we know that that was not the culture here at the end of the Jeff Fisher era, through the Munchak era, through the Ken Wisenhunt era. So, I mean, I think he does deserve some credit on that part. But like you're saying, I mean, for them to be as limited as they have been for the last couple of weeks and to find a way to win games, to completely shift, because I don't think, you know, we talked last week about, you know, Mike Vrabel telling the team before the game that they wanted to run the ball 40 times. I don't think that's going to be what this team is once they're at 100%. But, to find ways to adapt your game plan to what you have and to come out with two division wins, I mean, it can't be understated how important that is. Again, like you're saying, this is still a young coaching staff. The book's not out on them yet. When NFL teams get film and all that kind of stuff, we'll see how they adapt. You know, the league's going to adapt to them, and they're going to have to kind of readapt. So we'll see how all that goes. But on the Mariota front, you're absolutely right. I don't understand at this point how there's any shot that you play Blaine Gabbert over him, because even limited, even with only the throws that he could make today, you saw just what a weapon he could be. And he was really accurate with the ball today. I mean, I think he finished like 10 of 18 for 100 yards, and he had three of the first four passes that he threw were dropped. So the numbers could have been even better than that. He was obviously, you know, and I liked what Mike Vrabel said. Somebody asked him in the press conference of the game, you know, people, at least on the national level, have been questioning Mariota's toughness with his injury and all that stuff. And Vrabel made a point to say, you watch what Marcus did today. You watch him on those read options pull the ball and turn it upfield and run. He said, you know, us standing where we are, seeing the guys they have, the Jaguars on defense, you know, going after him, you know, you're not going to question his toughness, because he definitely, there was no hesitation for Marcus to do that. You saw what happened to Blaine Gabbert. I mean, they were coming after him and knocked him out, you know. So, I mean, we'll see with Gabbert. I would assume, I mean, obviously he's going to be in the protocol. It seems these days it takes guys 2 weeks to come back from that. I mean, we saw that with Toto Luan last week. Not all concussions are the same. Not all guys react to those the same. But I would imagine that he'll at least be limited throughout the week. And I don't know if they're going to bring up, what's the Woodside, is it the kid's name on the practice squad? I don't know if they're going to bring him up, or they're going to have to sign somebody else or something. I don't know who in the world the quarterback would have been today if Marcus got hurt. Because obviously that's not who they have. I heard at one point that Adoree Jackson was the emergency quarterback, but then he goes out with a concussion. So, I mean, I guess they would have run Derrick Henry in the Wildcat the rest of the game. I don't know. But, I don't know. It's just, there's so much excitement around this team right now, and so much of what they've been able to do. And, again, when you look at one of the toughest stretches that they're going to have here early in the season on the schedule, you got the Eagles coming to town next week, who, you know, might be beatable. I mean, we saw the Colts were able to at least give them a game today. So, I don't know, man. And I don't even – if they go 2-2, you know, obviously you never want a loss. You obviously don't want to see them just really, really get outplayed. But at this point, I think we take a 2-2 September, and we're really happy with that, because the schedule does lighten up a little bit when the calendar turns October.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago we said just get one of these next three, get to 1-3, and we were going to be happy with that. So they've already done that. Like I said, getting that Texans win took the pressure off. Not that every game isn't important, but it really took the pressure off and showed them, hey, we can still get this done. So I think it was it was going to be a rough deal if Blaine Gabbert had to play that game today. Just the early what you saw in that first quarter, he was seeing ghosts, and then the Jaguars were firing away. I mean, they were sending seven guys right up the gut, coming after him. I don't think it was going to go well for the Titans today. If you're still not sold on Marcus Mariota, I at least today sold you on his toughness. I mean, that was some McNair-level stuff right there, and I don't toss that around lightly. Just coming out, clearly can't feel, you know, two of his fingers. They kept it short, but he ran around, you know, did what he could. He knew he was limited. He played within himself, didn't force the ball. Really just made it happen with his legs. And, you know, I'm pretty convinced the Titans don't win today without him. It was cool to see Vrabel give him that game ball in the locker room. So that was a really cool scene to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll get a little bit more into the offense specifically here in just a second. Before we do that, we're going to tell you about MyBookie. You know, if you've been listening to the show for long, you've heard us talk about MyBookie. the biggest thing with them, you play, you win, you get paid. You don't have to do the run around and all that stuff. Once you make a bet, if you win, you get your money. It's easy to get it out of there. They've had a lot of new people signing up, so they've got a different deal now. If you are willing to wait until after 7 p.m. to make your deposit, they'll give you an additional $25 free play on deposit over $100. So you deposit $100, you get $25 for free. On top of that, they're going to match your $100. So if you make a $100 deposit, you are getting you're getting your $100 match, $125. So you make a $100 deposit, you got $225 in your account. When you use the promo code LOCKEDON25, that's very important. Use that promo code LOCKEDON25. So visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON25 when creating your account to claim up to $1,000 in your deposit bonus. And again, if you're willing to hold off after 7 p.m. Eastern, when you make your deposit, you'll get an additional $25 on top of that. So LOCKEDON25 is your code for that. It's up to y'all, but I think that's a great deal. I think if you're going to bet, you should do that. Again, you play, you win, you get paid. Okay, so on Mariota, one of the question marks that a lot of people had on him last year was his decision making. And I love the point that you made about him staying within himself today. He didn't try to force throws down the field. He didn't try. I mean, he knew what he could do. And I really think, and again, we've been accused of being Marcus Homers and, you know, all this stuff. I mean, we've heard it all in our support of him. But I really think that last year the offense just didn't suit him, and he was just out of sync all the time. And that's why his decisions were bad. And Matt LaFleur even said, back before the Dolphins game, basically he's been telling Mariota, like, if you're playing cautious, that's not going to get it done. You got to go out there and let it rip. And I think last year he was definitely playing cautious. I think, again, just confusion and all that kind of stuff. Today you saw he went out there. He knew what the game plan was. He knew what he had to do. He knew what he couldn't do. And so he only did what he could do. And like I said, the receivers let him down early. I mean, he started off 0-for-4. At least two of those balls definitely should have been caught. The Corey Davis one was kind of a tough catch, but, you know, one that you would expect that guy to make. But I don't know. I mean, like you said, the McNair-level stuff, I mean, yeah, a guy that's not expected to play, a guy that definitely has physical limitations and goes out there and gets it done. And, again, is not playing like he's physically limited. Is playing like he's out there full go. I don't know. If you didn't have faith in at least Mariota's want to or his toughness or whatever it is, you definitely should have that now. Because there was no hesitation when they called plays where he had the option to hand the ball off or run it. He didn't hand the ball off because he was scared. If he saw that his run was there, he pulled it back and he took off and was able to make a lot of things happen. And so, again, there's no doubt this offense is just so much better with him on the field. I thought Derrick Henry looked good today. Again, his numbers weren't great, not great from an efficiency standpoint, but this is a really good defense the Jaguars have. One of the toughest that they'll face all year. They're good against the run now. We talked about that. After they added Marcell Dareus last year, they got a lot better. But he seemed to be running downhill, taking what was there, you know, getting north-south. Sometimes he had a tendency to try to do a little bit of the dance and, you know, try to cut it to the sideline. I thought today he did a good job of, you know, getting in the hole, taking what was there, and keeping the chains moving. And, you know, he's a guy that the more they give him the ball, the more effective he gets, just because the defenders get tired of having to tackle him. And you kind of saw that in the fourth quarter. I mean, they were able to get, you know, 3, 4, 5 yards a pop and were able to, you know, kind of grind the clock down in a day where they were definitely limited, and that was something they needed to do.
Yeah, nothing spectacular there out of Henry. Just kind of took what the defense gave him. And, you know, we've talked about this before. That's something he hasn't done. That's something he didn't do all the time last year. You know, we talked about him bouncing stuff out wide and turning a 2-yard gain into a 2-yard loss. So, you know, just taking what's given to him. That's been the most notable thing for Derrick Henry. And, you know, we talk about him being a big play guy. It's not going to happen right now because they know what's coming. Every defense knows what the Titans are going to do. They're going to hand it to him and go up the middle because it's all they've got right now. You know, they've got a short pass here, maybe a screen or something like that, but most of the time it's going to be Derrick Henry up the middle. So 57 yards against a really good front on 18 carries. I'll take that. He executed the game plan. What was the most impressive thing to me, honestly, was Marcus Mariota. 7 carries for 51 yards. I thought his legs changed this ball game immediately from the first snap he took. You know, it, showing the legs, moving the sticks. You know, it just seemed like the passing game was, you know, short on options. He wasn't getting a lot of help, but when he got outside of the pocket. Made some defenders miss. You know, I was screaming at the TV to slide, and he wasn't real interested in doing that. He took some chances there, but just really, like you said, just showed his toughness. I think that was an iconic Mariota moment. I think we'll look back on this sometime down the road.
Yeah, and that's 7 for 51. I mean, that goes back to your point of the Titans not winning this game if Blaine Gabbert plays the whole game, because Gabbert's not a statue back there by any means, but I don't think that he's going to have those type of rushing numbers. I don't think they would have called the same game with him in there. So, yeah, I think that was definitely what changed the game and what was able to, you know, get this offense able to do enough to win the game. Corey Davis, you know, if you just, again, box score watchers, people that that draft him on their fantasy team, hoping that he'd be a, you know, sleeper, breakout guy, whatever you want to call it, you're obviously not happy, not thrilled with 2 catches for 34 yards. But again, I thought they showed that in those spots where they need the tough yards on a third down, they're looking to Corey Davis. They're calling plays that go for him. And he made 2 plays where he catches the ball, breaks a tackle, gets up the field, you know, gets a little bit extra there. He runs out of the catch, that kind of stuff. And, you know, I mean, I think he is developing into the guy that they drafted 5th overall, that they expect him to be when they spent that pick on him. Again, I know that 2 catches for 34 yards, everybody's going to be like, oh, you know, that's nothing. But that was those 34 yards were huge in this game. And again, if he doesn't break one of those tackles at least, we might be having a different conversation right now. So I think once this offense is back at full strength, and again, hopefully, you know, at some point, maybe this week, but even if it's not until, you know, a week or two down the road, when Marcus gets complete, you know, use of his hand back, when Jack Conklin's back there, then we're really going to see what this offense can be. And I think once we get to that point, I think you're going to see some huge numbers from Corey Davis.
Yeah, and you know, if you're looking at the stats, and I'd like to think our listeners are smarter than this, but if you're looking at the stats and you're complaining about the Titans, just stop. You know, consider what's going on. Consider all the injuries. Consider the fact that Marcus played with 3 fingers today. Just relax. It's going to be okay once Marcus heals up. I understand the frustration with Marcus, with it always being something and the constant injuries. I get all that. But give it a chance to let's see what this offense looks like at full strength. And like you said, I think that's when Corey Davis is going to pop. Already, you know, last week he was the guy. He was the guy in the passing game. Had really good chemistry with Blaine Gabbert. You saw Marcus and Corey convert a huge third down on a slant. Marcus was under pressure and still found him over the middle and, against pretty good coverage. So I thought that was a big play. So I think you're going to see Corey Davis going to start to turn into Marcus's Delanie Walker. You know, when the Titans need to play in the passing game, that's where they're going to be looking.
Yeah. Absolutely, and that's, I mean, we hoped that would happen anyway, even if Delanie was out there, just to have both of those options. But I think that now you really need to see Corey Davis step up, and I think he's going to do that. And listen, a guy like Luke Stocker, 1 catch for 11 yards, but it was a huge catch, a play that moved the chains, a guy that, you know, a lot of people were killing in training camp because he couldn't catch the ball. He's had to step into a little bit different role than what they expected him to be. But, you know, he's been able to do that. And, again, I just think that all these things that are happening right now are laying a foundation for once everybody's healthy and they get everybody back. You have a lot of different options out there. So I'm excited to see that. And you know, we haven't even seen Rashard Matthews yet. I mean, he's been the most dependable guy, at least on the outside, for this team the last couple of years. And, you know, he had a big drop today, but he's a guy that, you know, you've been able to count on for the last couple of years. So kind of once they're able to get him going, I think, you know, there's the sky is going to be the limit for this offense. And we keep saying that. The stats don't necessarily show it right now, but I still really do believe that. All right, coming up, we're going to talk a little bit about the defensive performance. Before we do that, I'll tell you about Vivid Seats. I talked about them last week, back this week as well. You know, we all love a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or being there to cheer on your favorite team. With Vivid Seats, you can attend the concert, show, or sporting event of your choice at a great price. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice. To make things better, Vivid Seats is giving listeners an exclusive promo code for new customers to receive $20 off of orders of $200 or more to save you more money. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off of $200 or more for a new customer for Vivid Seats. Every purchase is backed by 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theaters and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and enter the promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off of orders of $200 or more as a new customer for Vivid Seats. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let Vivid Seats help you get to your favorite live event. So the defense, obviously, you know, the Titans can't get this win without the defense playing as well as they did. The defense only giving up the 6 points. Listen, the Jaguars, like, whatever, man. You know, all week we heard about how great Blake Bortles is now. And, you know, he threw for a million yards against the Patriots, and he's going to torch the Titans and all this stuff. Blake Bortles is not good. And, again, we mentioned it last week. This team, the Jaguars should have signed Alex Smith in the offseason. They should have brought somebody in that can manage a game for them and can get it done. They've got weapons. They've got all that stuff. You know, we got news late last night or early this morning that Fournette wasn't going to be able to go. We talked about how different their offense is with Fournette in versus with Fournette out. They put a lot more in Bortles' hands when Fournette's not back there. The Titans were able to get after him all day, to get pressure on him. They did a good job of containing him. You know, that's something we talked about, you know, how underrated it is, his number rushing in his career. And, we even heard some of the Titans guys talk about that throughout the week, about, you know, how they've been reminded of that. He had 5 carries for 27 yards, so that they contained him pretty well there. Just got pressure on him all day, and that's the key with Bortles. He didn't throw a pick or anything like that. I kept waiting for that to happen because that's kind of been the signature thing that's happened in these games against the Titans. But the defense was able to keep him off balance all day. They were good against the run. We talked about how we were a little bit worried about the run defense, but they showed up today, didn't give up any of the big plays. You know, that's been obviously an issue if this is for Malcolm Butler, but for this defense in general through the first couple of weeks. So I don't know. I mean, you know, obviously right now they're kind of winning on the backs of their defense, but that's just another thing. You know, if the defense can be as good as it has been, and then you get the offense to where we think it can be, I think that's a recipe for a team that you know, could be a contender, and again, a team that I think is the best in the division right now.
I don't want to take away anything from the Titans defense because they played great today, but the Titans don't win this game if Blake Bortles doesn't play absolutely dreadful. I mean, the guy was missing throws, easy routine throws left and right, simple drag routes. That's a 5-yard throw to Keelan Cole, throws behind him. It doesn't give his receiver a chance. So many times, it just really inaccurate today, and this is the same dude that threw for 400 yards against the Patriots. It's like we always say, there's going to be peaks and valleys with Blake Bortles. The Jaguars have to get off the roller coaster ride at some point. And, I'm fine if they want to keep riding it, but I don't think they ever get to that next level. Hoping Blake Bortles doesn't have a bad game in a game you have to win in the playoffs. So I don't understand their formula there. As for the Titans defense, I thought they were really good. You know, you can't take anything away from them. That last drive, getting pressure, you know, once again, Harold Landry, the dude has a flat fastball off the edge. It's something the Titans haven't had in a long time. It's something that most teams in the NFL don't have off of the edge. He's a special, special player. I cannot wait to see him develop into a full-time player. But right now in that role, he is deadly. And then, of course, you've got, you know, Jarrell Casey. I thought they worked together well on that last drive, finishing up those last two plays. So that is the biggest sign of encouragement for me. The Titans have a legitimate pass rush, and it's been so long since I've been able to say that.
Yeah, and Wesley Woodyard, man, I don't know where he, you know, found this fountain of youth, because coming into last year, I mean, you would have pointed to him as one of the liabilities on this defense and one of the guys that they needed to replace or upgrade or whatever. And he was great again today. He had 10 tackles. He had the first sack of the game against Bortles. And you know, he's got Bortles out there one-on-one. And that's a play that a lot of times in Blake Bortles' career, he's been able to make that guy miss to get up the field and get some yards. But Woodyard brought him down. They had three total sacks. Kenny Vaccaro and Jarrell Casey had there too. Jarrell Casey was great again. I mean, he's a guy. He's just one of the most. He's got to be the most underappreciated defensive lineman in the league.
Yeah,
because we appreciate him obviously, but he doesn't get the pub nationally that he should, because he's just. I mean, he wrecks games. And, you know, again, not always when, because, I mean, so many of these people look at, just look at the stat sheet, and that's what they go off of. But we saw last week, on that last play with Deshaun Watson, how, you know, Casey missed him once, got chased him again. I mean, you know, forced him to keep running around and all that kind of stuff. He was all over the place again today. And, you know, again, like you said, I think that, I don't know the Jaguars general manager's name. But I think he's going to look back on this era and kick himself for having the defense that he has and not getting them a competent quarterback in there. And again, man, I love it. Like, this makes me so happy that Bortles was so bad today, because the Jaguars fans, it's like they're schizophrenic when it comes to their, like, Blake Bortles thing, because, you know, like, they don't like him. But then if you say something bad about it, they're like, oh, look what he, you know, he threw for 400 yards against the Patriots. He threw for this and that, whatever. He's not good. And he's going to cost them a chance to win a Super Bowl because of what they have on the other side of the ball. But, you know, again, credit where credit is due, the Titans defense. Credit to Dean Pease for coming up with a good game plan, for being able to get pressure and that kind of stuff. And, again, just something to build off of. And I don't know. I mean, I can't. This game, it just makes me so happy, because we talked last week about how Jaguars fans are the worst. And, you know, we've been battling with them on Twitter for a whole week and, you know, all this stuff. But now it's, what, 638 days since the last time the Jaguars beat the Titans. I know they won the AFC South last year, but the Titans beat them twice last year, beat them again today. Titans, you know, by tiebreakers or whatever now, both Titans, Jaguars 2-1. So the Titans are currently in the division lead. I don't know, man. I'm probably a little bit overly optimistic right now than I should be. There's still some holes. There's still some things they need to clean up. The offense is going to have to do more in the coming weeks if they're going to keep winning football games. But to face all the adversity that they face, they have a first-time head coach, and to have, you know, what, a 7-plus-hour game in week one, to play again in week two without your starting quarterback, without your top three tackles, to play in week three, you know, start the game without your starting quarterback, but to have him come in, and you're still without your second and third tackles. You can't be anything but happy with the way this season has started, and you just have to assume that the health thing is going to kind of even out as it does in the NFL, and that, you know, better times are ahead from that perspective, and so you're just going to see this team kind of grow and build off of these two wins.
And, you know, technically, the QB win goes to Blaine Gabbert.
That is true.
You know,
that
he started this one, so he gets to win over his former team, even though he did absolutely nothing. But so that's fun for Jaguars fans. But, yeah, I mean, for as bad as everything went to start this season, it was a nightmare scenario. Literally could not have gone worse at the injuries. And to be 2-1 after all that, coming out of it and finally getting healthy, I don't know how you're not over the moon excited for this team. I'm so excited to see what they can bring to the table, being fully healthy. That's something we haven't seen. You know, we still have not seen that. We've seen a couple drives in preseason. That drive in Green Bay was probably the biggest indicator, but even that was with Nick Williams, you know? So I don't know. You still haven't seen all the pieces together. Now you're hoping to get Marcus Mariota back to full health. I don't know when that'll be. Hopefully next week. But yeah, I'm just so excited to see what Matt LaFleur's offense finally looks like. It's kind of crazy. We still don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. And to have a game where Dennis Kelly is healthy and is standing on the sideline the entire game because he's the backup tackle to Lawan and Conklin. We still haven't seen that. So, I mean, it's going to be fun. It's a good start to the year. Again, it's, you know, you got to win the division, right, to get in the playoffs. We can talk about, you know, the home field advantage and buys and all that kind of stuff. When that time comes, we're obviously a long way away from that. First step is winning the AFC South. Great start to that. So, you know, like you said, you can't be anything but excited about this team, and we'll just kind of see what comes up. Obviously, tough test coming up next week. You got the defending Super Bowl champs, You have Carson Wentz in his second game back after, you know, getting his feet wet this week. So we'll see how that kind of goes. They'll do it for tonight. We'll have a lot more on this game throughout the week, obviously preview the Eagles as the week goes on. In the meantime, again, check out MusicMiracles.com. We'll have a ton of stuff, ton of content going up there. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at JMorrisMCM. Terry's at TLambertFB. Search out the podcast wherever you get your podcast. Just search out Locked On Titans, and that's where you'll find us. Subscribe so you get the latest episodes as soon as they're available. For Terry, this is Jimmy saying thanks for listening to Locked On Titans, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.